Most certainly a privilege for me to be here tonight, way down here in Tifton, Georgia. But little did I know that I was going to have the privilege of coming out here to this church. But we're happy to be here. Just got in a few moments ago, and we see that the room outside and the inside is kind of packed a little. So tonight we thought we would have a little time to get acquainted, to kind of understand each other, because we've got two more nights of service to come. Had my first time, I suppose, as far as I know, to shake hands with Brother Perry, the pastor. And we come on the invitation of our gracious friend and brother, Brother Evans. And we had a little time off while we get to get down this time. We're fixing to leave now for overseas, for a big part of the world in the next few months. We're about after this, we go into the Caribbean islands, and from there into South Africa, back into Switzerland, Holland, England, on up into Norway, come back, go over into Australia, Sydney and Melbourne, up back into India, through that way, coming back through the Holy Lands, Lord willing, this coming year. So we had a time that we could just go around and visit maybe people that we had not met yet. And Brother Welch Evans, being such a precious brother, and had asked me several times to come down. Now, I was down here not long ago to visit him at his home, and I tried to catch two or three of your fish around here, but I don't know how well I've done. I don't think very good. But I wanted to come back to meet the Christians. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to spend these two or three days down here with you people. Mostly my ministry is praying for the sick. No doubt of what do the papers and magazines and so forth, that you've heard of the goodness of the Lord Jesus, how He has healed the sick and done great wonders and signs. Coming up tonight, we've seen it would be almost totally impossible to line up a prayer line if many on the outside around us or is on the inside. Tomorrow, they're getting an auditorium or trying it, the high school or something. They'll be telling you about it. I think they're getting together on it now. Or we can be lined out so we can have prayer lines and pray for the sick the next services, beginning tomorrow night. Wherever the services will, we'll try to run over and give out some prayer cards and line the people up so you can come by numbers, as it's been a system in our services always to do that. So that'll be announced tomorrow, perhaps, and they'll have a sign out here if it is just where the service is, what auditorium it will be in tomorrow night. And if you come over here, they'll have a sign setting out there. If we have to continue here, why, you come right on over about 6 o'clock or 7 or whenever it is, 6:30, 7, and we'll give out cards. And then if we have to back out and start over new again, why, we'll get the people lined up to where we can pray for them. Like this, it'll be very hard, but we'll manage some way. Now, how many ministers is in here? Could I see, just see you raise up your hand? That's very fine. Well, greetings to you, my precious friends in Christ. Now, in talking on, that's about the youngest preacher I ever seen. He's one here about 2 years old, raised up his hand. I thought little David Walker's about the smallest one I ever seen, but this has got him beat. Well, that's mighty fine, son. I got one at home about like that. He claims he's going to be a preacher, but if he does, he's going to have to reform a lot. He was real bad the other day. He did something, put both his little sisters on a chair. You fathers and mothers know what I mean. I said, son, you kept promising me for a long time he was going to be good. When are you going to be good? He said, when I get to be a preacher. His mother said, you'll have to beat that or you won't be a preacher. They can get right next to your heart and their little witty things that they say. Now, tonight, it's chilly outside to me. I thought I was coming down here to go barefooted again, but I'd get froze if I did that. So Many are standing outside all around the buildings and so forth. Many set them out in their cars, and cars still coming in. So we're just going to not keep you long, just speak to you and try to bring up a faith to you that when it comes time for the prayer for the sick, that you'll be able to receive. I think that divine healing is something that you must approach reverently, sanely, because it is the work of God. Now, God can never go against His own laws and rules. He'll always work according to His rules. It's just like I've said this many times. If you had a hill over here and a great artesian well just blowing water up in the air, and you had another hill over here and it had a crop on it, and the crop was burning up for water. Now, you could stand on this hill and holler to that water, come over here and water the crop. It'll never do it. Certainly not. It'll never do it. But if you work according to the laws of gravitation, you can bring that water right over on the hill and water your crop. But you have to go through a law to do it. And it'll work perfect every time. If you were out here in the field tonight, it's dark as it is, and you'd say, I'm a scientist, and I know that there's enough electricity in this air to light up this field and show me how to get out of here. Oh, great electricity, I know you're here. Scientific research shows that you're right here in the air. Separate the cold and hot air and bring it together. You got electricity. And now, just light up the way because I'm lost. You can scream that you got hoarse, and it never light up. But if you work according to the laws of electricity, it'll light up the way. See? Now, that's the way it is about God. Divine healing has been misused many times. But there is a way. There is truly divine healing. But we got to work according to the laws and the commandments of God to get to divine healing. It's there. Sometimes you wonder why some are healed and others are not. Well, it's because one can come by the way of the law and the other tries to make a shortcut. But God don't have any shortcuts. We all come the same way. There's no respect of person with God. So tonight I thought I'd just speak to you to kind of get acquainted with you. And I'm new to you and you're new to me. But yet we're not strangers. We are precious brothers, sisters of the faith that's in Christ Jesus. We are pilgrims here and strangers. We're sojourners together looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. There where we long to be. And we're journeying together that way. Now, before I read just a little portion of Scripture here, a verse or something, let us bow our heads just a moment inside and out, if you will, precious ones, while we speak to our precious Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is indeed a great privilege that we have tonight to come and call You our Father. Knowing that we have passed from death unto life because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And we're so glad, Lord, tonight that we are partakers of His grace and of this eternal life. Nothing that we have did or nothing that we could do that would merit such a blessing, but it's by the sovereign grace of God. And we humbly accept it and believe it and are anxiously telling others of God's way, a provided way to escape the wrath of God at the day of the judgment and be a friend to Him, to enter into His presence with washed souls through the blood of His Son, Christ Jesus. We are also taught by Thy most gracious word, Lord, that He was wounded for our transgressions, and with His stripes we were healed. Oh, tonight as we think of it, when David cried out and said, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits." who forgiveth all of thine iniquity and healeth all of thy diseases. How happy we are tonight, Lord, to know with this blessed assurance that we have that there is dividends that can be drawn on the policy. And we are praying tonight, Lord, that you will bless us in an outstanding way. I look standing out the windows as they come down the rows of automobiles and seeing the precious hungry hearts standing out there with their heads bowed and waiting for a blessing from God or to hear something that would speak peace to them or would encourage them along the journey. We ask that you bless them, those who are standing around in the floor and around the walls and the aisles, sitting, some in cars. Oh, Lord, may there not be a hungry soul leave without being filled by every desire that they come for. Grant it, Lord. If there is any in divine presence who is sick and needy, may they leave this meeting tonight well. If there is any without hope, without God, without Christ, may they go with a cup running over with joy that they have found Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of eternal life. Grant it, Lord. Hear our prayers and speak to us through thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in the book of Isaiah, I wish to read just a moment a portion of the Scripture. I'm going to take the first chapter and the 18th verse. We all know it, but I'd just like to read it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's a very familiar old scripture text. And I just thought on it as I come down today and was thinking of that is a striking thing. When God, the creator of heavens and earth, would invite his creation, mankind, to come reason with him. What an honor to have God to give an invitation. You know, he didn't have to do that. But he did it. And he invited whosoever will may come. He just didn't select a certain person or a certain group or a certain denomination or a certain color. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And then I'm sure that means every one of us has a right. That does me better tonight to know that than it would have been if the Scripture said, let William Branham come, because there might be more than one William Branham. But when he said, whosoever will, I know that it includes me and it includes you.
Amen.
And we all have a right to the tree of life. There is many things that we could be honored by. A certain minister might invite us to a certain church, and it would be an honor. A certain society of the city might invite us to their place, and it would be an honor. Or I'd say this, what if our beloved President Dwight Eisenhower invited the best Democrat there is in Tifton to come visit him? Though he differed with him in politics, it would be an honor for him, because President Eisenhower is calling. And I'd say this, if he did do such a thing, we would boast about it all over the country, that President Eisenhower invited us to come to the White House to talk over matters with him. While the newspapers would pack it, the radio would be filled with it, the television would blast it everywhere, because that President Eisenhower invited us to come to the White House to talk it over with him. What an honor. We surely would not turn it down. But think that God invited us. Amen. The God of heaven invited you and I, poor, finite people, poor, and invited us to come to him and talk it over of eternal life. Though our sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be white like snow. It's beyond anything that I could ever imagine, that God trying to reason with the creation that he made. But he invited us to come. And he certainly has been turned down by many people. And if we do turn such an invitation down, then we could not expect to be blessed at his coming at the judgment. In other words, God's saying something like this: come and let's just sit down and talk it over. I like anything like that. Some time ago in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a couple of Indian girls came into the meeting and sang a song at the stadium out there and said, I would like to talk it over with Jesus and tell him all of his mercies. And I thought of that song and of this scripture, I would like to talk it over with him. Reminds me of an old colored man one time was singing a song, and just before he got started singing, he said, you know, he said, I told the Lord a long time ago that when it come my time to go, that I didn't want no trouble down at the river. If there's anything wrong, let's talk it over now.
Amen.
And I think that's just about as good expression that I could find. I don't want no trouble at the river.
Amen.
It's going to be a dismal morning. When that ship pulls out, I want to have my ticket in my hand and know that it's covered.
Amen.
Know that everything's all right. Because there won't be no time to talk it over then. Better talk it now. God said, let us reason this together. Reason. If you're sick, let's reason it out with God. If the doctor said that you can't get well, then let's take the case to God and sit down and reason it out with him. Lord, I've done wrong. But if you'll just let me get well, I'll serve you all my life. Just talk it over with him. I think it'd be a good thing for us to do that before the services tomorrow night. Have a little talking it over with Christ. In other words, God says, come, let us have a conference together. Meet in a conference and let's talk that out. Usually, we hear so much lately about conferences being held everywhere. And what is a conference? We heard of here some time ago, many of you people of my age, remember in the World War II, they had what was called the Big Four Conference, where the Big Four free powers of the world met together in a conference. And then they had the Geneva Conference. They had the Paris Conference. Mr. Eisenhower just been to the free world having conferences. And God calls for a conference. All these great rich things in the Word of God, it makes us rich people to know that God has given us an invitation to come talk it over with him before the time. Some time ago, there was a poverty-stricken woman here in the States. And her estate of her financial condition was so low too, they were going to have to bring the county to help her out. And when the investigators came and said to this certain woman, how come that you are so poor till you have to ask the county to give you help. And she gave the story of her husband being dead and left her with one son, and this son became a businessman. And it went away to India. And she had not had a penny farming for so many years, but she had had some of the sweetest letters that she had ever read. And said, maybe he is in such a condition that he cannot help me. And he's such a sweet boy that I don't want to ask him for anything. And said, you mean that your son, a businessman, has only sent you letters and that's all he sent? And the blessed old mother pulled out her little spectacles and put them over her nose and said, no, he sent me some of the prettiest pictures I ever seen. And she goes to her Bible and she fumbles through her Bible for a little bit and she picks out a great big package of little pieces of paper and laid them down to the investigator, said, just look what pretty pictures. And when the investigator had read them, they were bank drafts. She was worth thousands of dollars and she didn't know it. That's the way it is tonight with most people. If we just take our fingers to the Bible of God's promises, we are more than millionaires. Yeah. Of the riches of His grace. Though no matter what we have done, come let us reason together, saith God. He's given us the promises, but we just think the Bible is something that just the preacher should read. Or that certain people just have all the reasoning of it. It's for whosoever will. Every promise is just as good today as it was the day it was wrote in the Bible. God calling His people for conferences. What is a conference for? Why does it happen? It's when an emergency arises. That's when the nations get together. That's on a common ground. They believe in a certain thing and they come together by common mutual agreements. And then they select a certain place to have this conference. Usually somewhere that it's pretty and some place that they can feel relaxed together because they must be at their best to make their agreements. Then when their agreements are made, the thing they do then, after these agreements are made, they go to work upon them. And that's the way God holds His conferences. Let's go back and think of a few conferences God has held prior to this one tonight. The first conference I want to speak of just now for a moment, we would call it the Conference of Eden. Word had just reached heaven that God's child had fallen from grace. He had sinned. And there was a state of emergency call. God had to bring angels and come from heaven because His own child had fallen and disobeyed His laws. And it was death penalty for disobeying these laws. God had to come in a state of emergency, like any conference is held. Something must be done, or all is gone to chaos. His own creation. And God selected a certain tree, and He called Adam and Eve together, and brought them up, and held a conference with them. And when He had come to a decision, He made a way of escape for His mortals. And He said, thy seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and his head shall bruise thy heel. And there was another time that I can think of a conference was called by God. And we would call this the Burning Bush Conference. God had remembered that He made a promise to Abraham and to not only to Abraham, but his seed after him. And we are Abraham's seed. Being dead in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. God remembered that He made a promise that those seed would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, but He would deliver them. And the prophet that He had chosen and had born Him in the world a prophet, instead of taking God's way, He went the intellectual way. He'd gone down into Egypt and had been schooled and had a great education. Learned all kind of military strategy. And then tried to take it over in his own way of doing it. There's only two ways to do anything. And that's the right way and the wrong way. And that's our way and God's way. Our way is always forever wrong. God's ways is for always right.
Amen. That's right.
No matter how foolish it seems to us, how simple it is, God behind it, there's nothing can stop it.
Amen.
God speaks it and His laws and His ways operate perfectly. So we find God calling to Moses, or seen Moses, a runaway prophet.